The words she had absorbed were now a part of her, but they wanted to be free. They fought against her system like a virus, looking for the meaning that had been assigned to them, but had been stripped away. The words demanded to be heard, demanded thought, a coherent meaning. She gave them none, and they fought within her. The phrase, "Keepers of the Sun," demanded her attention again and again, its echo growing with more intensity with each passing second. To give it voice now would be to lose it, so she held it back, like holding a red-hot coal in a clenched fist.
Perfect.
Done. Five.
That was our sound bath to start the episode.
Perfect.
Chicka chicka.
Chicka chicka. Joe in his I'm about to speak pose.
Skipping bop and bada.
It's going to stop one day.
Yes.
No, it won't.
Welcome back to Wild Sea. Man, everybody's crying laughing. Everybody had a bit ready.
Watching, I looked over to Dylan, who was trying to hold it in.
Literally
so
holding his nose and mouth. I am joined again by Dylan Ballardinelli, Sam Gulo, Will Mercer, and of course yours truly, Joe Prada.
Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Where's Michael?
Well, it turns out Michael's a busy guy.
Oh, shoot.
He's got a lot of gigs that he's doing, and we were able to catch him when during the actor's strike. And so we were able to record a lot, but now that he's back at work, he has a lot of work to do. So this episode and the next episode, we will not have Michael joining us, but he will be back. So in the meantime, we're just going to kill his character, and we're not going to tell him. And when he comes back, he's just going to make a new one.
Fair.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Not for him.
Actually,
if you killed one of Michael's characters every 5 minutes, he'd still have 100 left over by the end of
it's very really good. I met Michael. I was introduced to Michael, like, oh yeah, he's got 50 characters. I was like, yeah. What? You play 50 characters? He's like, no, I have 50 characters ready. I love him. So we are getting back into our session. We just left off. You guys had gone around the Wishmaker's Isle, and you had met a few people. Let me read here. I'm just going to read this off. The gang gathers intel while in port at Wishmaker's Isle the day before the race. Luca claims that he is the captain of the Morca, not the name of the ship, just what it is, and gains access to the private tavern, the captain's quarters.
That's right.
Yep. Reserved for captains only. There he joins a sit-down meeting of some of the most ruthless captains from the race's past. They are all discussing the locations of the previous trinkets from previous races, gathering as much intel as possible. Captain Starwisher leads the conversation, but many other captains present are hesitant on forming alliances with one another. Luca leaves the meeting, having made one temporary ally with Captain Sinwicky, after sharing some of his music with the captain.
Well, I Sinwicky said he liked me, but he'd probably kill me. I think Starwisher and I ended up making an alliance, at least a tentative one.
A very tentative one, yes. But yeah, Captain Sinwicky loved you because you guys played Everybody Wants to Rule the World together.
Yeah!
As they leave, Captain Sinwicky, exactly claims that he's been... it'll be hard killing Luca later on during the race. Meanwhile...
I feel for him.
Yeah, he's got a big heart. He likes you.
Yeah.
What a sweet guy.
Yeah, right?
Meanwhile, Sivan Venik and Reverend Rise scourge the Knot, looking for alliances and information with all the captains present. A conversation with the old captain, Sickle Knot, reveals that some of the captains share the sentiment that there is no hope for the alliances of this race, and that the world is doomed regardless. The only truth captains cling to is that they are captains in the race, and they will die in glory racing this race. During this encounter, several doubles are rolled, resulting in the following sequence of events. Jarvis the Thief blows himself up, but lands in the ship of Captain Gale Glade, known for unwillingly transforming sailors into Zelacrae. Jarvis the Thief becomes trapped below deck of the False Messenger, dark, scared, and surrounded by millions of spiders.
Now empty of shit.
He shits himself. In which has been labeled by the party as a bad place to shit yourself.
Yes.
Just a whisper I have.
That's right. Oh, no. The gang then decides to perform some tasks in a montage sequence. Luca looks for allies and accidentally runs into Captain Milo Stars, who gives him access to restricted access areas on Wishmaker's Isle dock. A strange encounter.
Yep.
Sybin goes off and gains some seals for the ship to allow Under Eve's travel. I had in my notes that you stole them off of a ship.
Mm-mm. They stole them off a ship and sold them to me is what I think you were going with.
Okay, gotcha. Because you...
I didn't steal shit.
You didn't steal shit. That's not who you do.
Sybin's a good man.
I didn't do this.
He's a good man. I know his parents. They'd never let him steal.
Vennick goes off and collects a large swath of specimens from his longtime supplier of organic samples and oozes, filling up the vials within his belt.
Gross.
And then Reverend Rise climbs to the top of Wishmaker's Isle to get a better view of the dock after hearing several rumors how that there are some captains planning on sabotaging the race. There he gets a bird's eye view of the area for miles around and sees a small storm brewing in the skies centered around the hustle and bustle of Wishmaker's Isle, as whispers shoot through and around large gatherings of people. He also finds Captain Lavery Windsor sitting with a scoped rifle construct in his hand among the flapping banners of the most brazen crew from races past. Hailing from the tall shank of Dandelay, the captain is a bit more of an outcast and therefore agrees to ally with Rise for his incredible show of power and strength. The crew returns to the Morca, again, not the name of the ship, just what the ship is, to share all that they have found on their excursion. But before they get word in, they see the Whisper Master that they were assigned, Christine, turn into mist as she is stabbed in the back by a brunette girl in rags for clothes. Oh, and Jimmy was there too.
Yes.
So that girl missed?
Huh?
That girl missed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally. She totally missed.
Oh, Lord. She missed.
Oh, Lord.
She red missed.
She missed.
She red missed.
This is a technical term we use when somebody is exploded when we were doing military stuff.
Gross.
Like, yo, yeah, you're red mist now.
That's very See, I was thinking of blood misting, but that's just because I've been rewatching Dexter recently and it's mentioned several times on there.
Yeah.
He's a blood expert. For those of you who have not seen Dexter,
go on.
He's a boy genius. His sister Dee Dee gets into the lab a lot.
And he kills people.
Common misconception. That's Dexter's laboratory. Dylan, that was correct. He does kill people. Dexter is a serial killer who moonlights as a blood analyst for the Miami Metro.
Wait, so which one is omelette du fromage?
That's just French.
Oh.
It's used in Dexter's laboratory, but that is French. That did not originate in that show.
And which
I'm
one?
I'm gonna pause.
Which one has the sister who wants to fuck his brother?
Laboratory. Arguably, that could be both.
Yeah.
Because Dexter did decide that was going to be.
Guys, what are we doing here?
I'm describing the plot.
No. This game it doesn't sound like this is what our strength.
Wrong podcast.
Yeah. I think we need to switch it up.
That's Dexter's my other podcast, Dissecting Dexter.
Dissecting Dexter. I'm done.
A misname for sure.
That's it.
All right, so.
So we're going to start. You guys are aboard the Morca.
The Morca.
You are standing in the galley of the ship underneath the tree inside the beast. The Morca.
Just Morca.
You see this woman with this brunette hair and rags who's holding a knife. Where Christine previously was. She sees all of you guys standing there, and she goes, "It's not what it looks like. You have to trust me."
I'm going to.
Christine didn't just explode?
I'm going to roll out. Like, literally roll along the ground, switch over to G.I. Joe, Kung Fu Grip, and, like, grab Christine.
This new girl.
No, this new girl. Yeah. New girl.
Roll,
grab.
Roll for that. Because she's very nimble. The minute she sees you move towards her.
This is also a test to see if they can do things. We'll do brace.
Okay.
Is that okay? Brace and iron?
Brace and iron. Let me see. So iron. Brace is defend, determination, immobility. Yeah, brace is good. And iron?
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure she becomes immobile.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay, cool.
What's the pool?
Three.
Three? All
right,
roll.
Right.
All threes.
All threes.
That is
but
all
that is all threes. A fail.
Oh, three? No.
Threes.
That's a disaster.
It is a disaster.
Okay, so.
I died.
Second thing of red mist.
In your movement, you've accidentally run over and just completely crushed Vennick.
I got a question. Yeah. I got a question. What is the most vulnerable part of Rise?
What is the most vulnerable part of Rise?
I mean, Rise is a very beefy, hard plastic boy.
Yeah. What would he think?
I would say he's like gorilla-esque in nature. I don't know why, but I feel like the hip.
Your hip?
Maybe like where the brachiating chest torso meets the hip part.
Okay. Gotcha.
Like a Buzz Lightyear doll.
Yeah.
You roll over to grab her with your action hand,
mm-hmm.
and she's able to duck deftly
uh-huh.
just as your hand reaches where her throat would have been or wherever you were grabbing at. She ducks and dives under, and with the knife, she cuts out like a plastic support, like an elastic part of your waist, and causes you to lose your balance. So not only do you miss, but I'm going to say that
you die. Hurt me. Hurt me, Daddy.
Don't say it like that.
Oh. Hurt him.
You are going to burn one of your aspects.
Okay, great.
So different from a mark and a burn.
Uh-huh.
Mark is a slash on your character sheet where all the tracks for your aspects are. A burn is an X. A burn, you're going to have to do something a little bit more than heal.
Got it.
Burn is something that's really hard to get rid of. And if you have enough burns, eventually they start to turn into mires.
Got it. Okay, cool. No, that's great.
So take your choice. I would say, because all your aspects are just how big you are, basically.
We'll burn a Titanic.
Okay, cool. And that hurts. That's a really big injury.
Ooh, but my respect goes up.
It does go up.
And there's a twist for this, right?
It does. There was three.
Now, I just want to ask before I suggest my twist. Mm. The twist, does it have to, like, go along because it was a disaster? The twist also has to fit in with, like, it was also bad for Rise? Or is the twist right. just something unexpected that happened because of it? So, whether or not that's beneficial?
Right. How we've been playing it, we've been playing very fast and loose. Jarvis the Thief is utterly fucked up because of twists.
Mm-hmm.
But in the rules, what it says is that it adds a small, potentially useful twist suggested by any player. Firefly has final say. So like for an attack, a critical hit, which increases impact. Defense, counter does not mark damage to a foe if in range.
I have an idea of one if you guys don't have one. But
I had one I was going to throw out, but also if anyone else has.
Well, it's open to you two.
Venek gets sucked into a side seal and is lost for a while. In the bowels of the morgue.
He gets trapped in the fucking cube.
So again, Michael isn't here. And I've been trying to figure out how we're going to get him out of this ship. You know what? I'm going to say that. That's a solid one.
Okay.
He like dodges out of the way and gets absorbed into the ship for an episode.
He goes to also stab, but gets like his arm stuck on a wall, and then the muscles flex and he gets sucked in.
That's exactly what happens. As she rolls... Like, because as she rolls past Rise, closer to the group, Venek dives in to do an attack, but he gets, like, hitched on a loose tendon that's just kind of hanging inside the ship, and you hear the Murker go, and just flexes and gets pulled into the Murker.
Morka, what'd you do with Riddick?
Not Riddick.
And you just kind of, like, you hear muffled screams for a minute.
I'm sorry.
I think, Simon, you have an idea that, like, there is a vast, like, system within the ship that sometimes, like, sphincter is the best word to use.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%.
I don't want to use it, but it's the best word here. There,
it's look, what all of our doors are.
How about orifice?
Nope. Stick with sphincter.
Here's the thing. People think what you're thinking when you say the word sphincter, but that doesn't. Sphincters aren't just because of that. There's like sphincters in bodies.
We have like thousands of sphincters.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah, the only one you think of is the one that makes you go poopy.
Yeah, so he gets that's sucked into
it's
a
the big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just right into the butthole. The middle butthole the of the middle ship, if you will.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sphincter doesn't have to mean that, but in this case, it absolutely does.
He gets sucked into a stinky air vent.
Oh, he'll be fine.
And now we've dealt with that.
Michael, you'll be so happy to know you got absorbed by an ass.
Assorbed?
Assorbed.
Let's not worry about that ever again.
Jimmy, if you can add an appropriate sound effect there,
really
that would be great.
That's a really good place to
Joe, can we get Michael an ADR just to go, ah!
Whether or not you want to follow that up with a okay. can or not.
Gotcha. That's... I'm going to do it right here. Michael, okay. Give us your best. Yeah. Oh, shit. Mamma mia.
That was very good.
Perfect.
That was great, dude. Honestly.
Man, professional actor. I love that.
Yeah. Fucking. That's why he's working.
He's fucking on it, man.
Dude, yeah. I get it. But the girl, she rolls into it. She's on her knee and she takes the knife and she throws it to the side and she looks at.
yeah.
gets sucked into plastic gear. And she goes, I mean no harm. I mean no harm. I need Ow. You to help me.
Whoa, wow.
Please.
Uh-huh. Hold on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on, hold on, hold on. So where's Christine?
Christine was not working with you. She was working against you. All the Whisper Masters on all the ships are not working with the captains. Please listen to me. You need to help me. Please.
Fine. Speak up.
And she looks to you two. Are you guys, what are you ready to attack? Are you listening? What are you doing?
I think I place my hand on the wall and my tendrils come out and I'm telling the Morca to close off its sphincters so she doesn't get out.
Okay, so all the doors close up.
I kind of sit down on the floor cross-legged, ready to listen like a child.
You sit down. She's still tense. She's looking over to Reverend Rise now. She has her back up against a wall like an animal ready to fight.
Oh, be careful. You're right near a sphincter.
I'm becoming concerned about the number of sphincters on Morgan.
Well, we're in the worst room in terms of sphincters.
We're in the hall of sphincters.
We're in the HOS, if you will.
And the homeowner's
sphincters. Is this also the bridge? Is the bridge also the hall of sphincters?
I need to make a note real quick. Hall of sphincters. Okay. But she's looking at you and she says, I was just created today. I don't know what I am. I don't know why I am what I am. But I am like the Whisper Masters. I am like Christine. I have the power to create whispers. But I know that my original design that the wish makers intended me to do was to use the information that we were gathering in all the ships to help sabotage the race. And I don't know what's going on. I just know that I came into existence and I have a lot of information and all of the people on this ship. I need you to trust me. I don't want to hurt you. And
it's a little too past that point for you. Except the fact that you're going to hurt people and you might make it through this race.
I can hurt people.
But yeah, we did just see that twice.
I did just do that.
Yeah.
But please listen to me when I say I am here and my life is in danger of being erased if the Wishmakers find out that I'm even telling you this.
Okay, now... What separates you from the person you just stabbed and caused to not exist anymore as well? Why is your life more important than the person you just killed?
Did she tell you what she was here for?
She was a whisper keeper, maker, was supposed to help with certain aspects of the race in its design.
Right. That's...
We were showing her some cool stuff. Like, I showed her all my tapes.
What?
Oh, yeah, I've got some tapes. Come on.
That's not important right now. That's not important right now. She was... You can't show any other the Whisper Makers any more information. If you value your lives, please do not show anyone like that anymore.
Including you?
And you see, she gets very frustrated all of a sudden. Like, she's been... kind of stuttering. She's had this composure, like she's trying to hold something within, and when you point that out, like, there's a sudden strain on her body, and she's like, oh, like, she's physically trying to keep something inside of her, and she takes a breath and she goes, yes, even me, but that's why I need your help.
Can I, because I'm also communing with the ship right now,
yeah,
have the knife that got sucked in pop out above me and land in my hand?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yes, that just happened. Yes. That's a note that we need to make.
Ship can summon items to our hands.
Because we're in the cargo bay.
At least to Sybin.
At least to Sybin.
Yeah. What are you going to do with this knife?
Oh, I'm just holding it to make sure if I need to kill, I won't. And so I just put it in like my my shell, essentially, my hard shell. I just put it to the side and it goes into me so that no one can use it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, she's standing there and she sits down on the ground like...
Oh, she's on my level.
Yeah, she's on your level now. And she's like, I understand that what I just did does not make me look like somebody that you can trust and I wouldn't expect you to. But I need you to know that I could be a very useful ally to you during this race if you want to win.
But wait, I thought you said that we couldn't tell you things and you can't tell us things.
You can't tell me things yet. You can't tell me things yet, but if you help me disconnect from the Wishmakers, then I can be of great use to you.
What are you holding back right now?
And she... I'm going to make you... Give me a roll to kind of inspect her. What have you got?
I mean, I would say like instinct and sense, maybe? Trying to tell what it is?
Do you have any study? I think, actually, no, yeah, instinct and sense.
If you want to go study, no. I can roll my one instinct.
No. So how many dice is that?
Four
dice? Cool. Roll them.
These do conflicts and do the so
two
four?
Fours and two threes.
Two, yeah.
Okay. So it is a mixed success. That's what it is. In
Desert Storm was a conflict too, right?
Yes, it was.
Right. It was a mixed success.
We do not have the time.
We don't want to break that down. That's tomorrow's podcast.
We'll cover that on Dissecting Dexter.
You're able to kind of like watch her. And as you're like seeing her kind of like almost thrive in pain, you see that there's like this... kind of blue, what is it called?
Like ethereal?
Yeah, ethereal. Like this ethereal energy kind of radiating out of like her torso and like kind of like rising up into like her throat. And you see that she's just trying to control it somehow. You're not sure how she's doing it. But your question of like, what are you trying to contain? She says... They know who I am and what I do. And you see her words fly out of her mouth. Like, you see a whisper kind of created out of her. Some of that blue ethereal energy whips out of her and then just flies out of the ship.
It's kind of got like a light to it as it goes out, right?
Yes, it illuminates.
Instinctively, can Luca just try to catch it because it's light and he's...
off.
I'm going to say because this was a conflict... yeah, there's a moment where it gets away, but it's going to be a very hard thing.
There is a twist.
Yeah, let's resolve this twist first.
Okay.
What do we think? So, Sam and Dylan, what do we think?
Twist is when this power activates, the Morka kind of goes like... Like, all the Morka systems, like, all the doors go for like a second.
Interesting. Yeah. Anybody got anything?
Muffled strings from Venek.
I think.
Let me think of another one. Hold on.
Because I don't want it to be something that affects the ship, because this may or may not be something that happens
all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You know what? I'll go with this. I'll just give it to you, Sam. Sam, you're able to catch this whisper. Okay. I think that's the twist. You're able to kind of jump up and catch it really quick.
Whoa.
And so now you've got this whisper. They know who I am and what I do. And she sees you catch it, and she's so relieved. And she says, that goes to people that you don't want to know that information. You tell me information, and if I have that information, it's at risk of being in those hands. And you don't want that. I don't fully understand who those hands are and why they're trying to sabotage the race, but I know this. I have this knowledge within me.
That was tingly.
If Venek was here... I wonder if he knows if Teenwa's working with them again. But Venek's not here anymore, so.
I would say.
So remember the information they don't want to know. We probably shouldn't tell them until they get their little hiccup problem under control.
Yeah.
She nods.
Hiccups.
Hiccups. Hiccups is a good way of putting it. I can suggest that you try to find a way of what's going on. I think there are people who work here on the Isle who have a better understanding of what I am and what I do. But I also know that there are people off of this island who work with whispers for a living who know better about this.
Would I have any knowledge of that as a traveler?
I'm going to say, give me...
It's not going to roll well. Don't take another one of my healths if I fail this, okay?
Also, question, would we know anything about that? We spent tons of time on the open sea.
Right.
Yes, but we're also us.
We are also us.
You guys are also you. Give me a...
Hug.
Do you have any... does anybody here have any skills in brass tongue?
In brass tongue?
Not in brass tongue. No.
This is a language. Because none of you have that understanding, then I don't think I can really give you any more.
No, it's all right.
You can try to build a pool, and I give you what you build off of that. But I can tell you right away if you had brass tongue.
I think the only things that would make sense for me to roll for that, I think, would be sharps and study.
Yeah, do that. Because I think that's essentially a history check.
Let's go.
That's a 6 and a 4. You know that there's a place on the seas in your travels, buried deep within your memory, because you've pupated several times in your life. And during one of your lifetimes, I think you have this memory that flashes to you of this giant building. You remember it as something that was not always there. And you know it to be a place where high society people, some of the most important people on the seas, come together to gather whispers.
Ew, I hate this.
And you know this place to be called Chu Ke E Ches. That name rings out to you. You don't know where it is. You don't know why you know this. But you know the name Chu Ke E Ches is a place where whispers are gathered and shared amongst some of the most elite members on the Wild Sea.
Hmm.
Whoa. No, I think I know what you're talking about.
She's not looking at you. She's looking at the ground and says, he does. He knows.
Can you read my mind?
No, I can't.
Aww. Can you?
Please don't ask me any more questions. I cannot tell you anything else.
May I ask you one question that won't give things away?
I was going to say, as you were saying that, just because Luca is Luca, this is something he would do. As you're saying that, I pull out the map. Like, can you hear the map?
She looks up and she's trying to fight an answer, but an answer blurts out of her mouth and another whisper is created and says, I can't hear the map. And you see the whisper fly out again. But it kind of dissipates before it can really get out. Like, it's not a very powerful whisper.
Okay. What kind of environment do you need to be in, little one?
One where somebody's not going to be asking me questions.
Come with me.
Yeah, it shouldn't be my room.
I was going to say that was also a question.
And, like, sphincter opens. Yeah. We walk through.
That's fine.
And I'll lead her to, like, the bowels of the ship, like, under the, like, cargo, right at the meat of the blubber of our boy.
Gotcha. Cool.
And there's, like, a little room in there.
Perfect.
While you do that, I just kind of watch you two leave, and I look over at Ryze and go, are you okay, dude?
Oh, jeez. Oh, really quick, and for somebody who was born, what, yesterday? Really rather good with that knife.
No, I was born, like, 4 years
ago. No, not...
Oh, okay, I got the knife thing just now. It's cool.
Oh, God.
You escort... Guys didn't get her name.
Names mean nothing to me.
Names mean nothing.
I'm going to grab some fruits off of our big tree in the middle on the way down.
Yeah.
And then, like, put fruit in room.
Perfect.
Put her in room. Lock sphincter.
She's very grateful, but she doesn't say anything. She doesn't communicate to you verbally anymore. She takes the fruit and she kind of tuckers out in the corner. She's very tired. And you go back up. Your injury, I think you're getting used to it. It's still there. You've got a limp now.
Oh, great.
So movement is a little clunky. But I'm also going to give you guys a track helping your passenger. I'm just going to call her name. Her name is Eve.
Okay.
This is going to be called Disconnecting Eve.
Disconnecting Eve. Is this a track we should write down? Or you...
This is a track that I'm going to keep down.
Okay.
So okay.
It is going to be a 3-mark track.
Okay. Disconnecting Eve.
We don't know her name is Eve yet, though, do we?
Mm-mm. I think you guys eventually get the name. I'm not going to pressure you guys.
A whisper goes to the ship.
Eve! Yeah.
You guys name's Eve.
My name's Eve.
So it's going to be a 3-mark track. You guys can spend actions whenever you want to try to help Eve out with that. As you gather information, as you perform actions, as you roll dice to do anything related to that, depending on its success, we can mark it off. And once a track is finished, then something happens.
Okay.
That's how tracks work in Wildsea. They're very, very cool.
I may be able to help you with that. I point to Ryze's injury. I walk away for a second into my room, and I come out with like a cloth and a blank tape. I just push the cloth against it, and I just take the tape, and I'm like wrapping it around and tie it. This is how I know how to help.
Do I feel better?
Make a roll on that.
Oh, that's so sweet, though.
What kind of skills you got here, pal?
That's the sweetest boy.
Can I do instinct and trying to think of... I would say either scavenge, because I'm using scavenged stuff, or study, because I know that you're supposed to wrap injuries.
I'll give you scavenge for sure.
Scavenge, and I...
What about... Do you have a different edge? I don't think...
Sharps?
I'll give you sharps.
Okay.
How many dice?
Two.
Okay.
It's a mixed success.
Okay. You are able to wrap up this injury. You're able to connect the rubber wiring to whatever it is, but it's a temporary fix.
Got it.
Unfortunately, it's still burned.
Okay.
It hasn't been fixed, but this injury that I had in mind for you, which is going to be halved your movement, like, is gone.
Oh, okay.
So you're no longer
great
limping, but you're not healed yet.
Got it. Okay.
If you get hit again, this may or may not break.
Got it.
So
there we go. So Captain's got to make sure his crew's out. Okay.
I appreciate it.
And I walk in. Well done, Captain. And I release all the sphincters except the one holding her.
Excellent. Venix should have fallen out, but he didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no. I meant the door sphincters, not the event sphincters.
Okay, gotcha. So, yeah, you three are standing in the belly of your ship. Venix isn't around. You assume that he's lost in the ship. How do you guys feel about that? I want to take kind of a minute. I'm not going to ignore it completely.
I literally could release him at any time.
Okay.
But I don't think about Venix. Like, my character is... I don't... He's here. He'll be fine.
He's in the ship.
There's food in the vents.
There's food in the vents?
What?
Where is Venix? Just in terms of...
And I touch the walls.
He's between the great tree and the living quarters. He's trying to crawl around.
He's going to be there for a while. I got stuck in there once.
All right, well, to be honest, I should probably go get this injury looked at. And if what she said is true, there may be people on this island that still know a bit more about these whisper makers.
Okay, well, and I think about Venix for a second. And I know he wouldn't shut up about the Tinoa Ilanet, but there's also something in my mind saying, Tinoa Ilanet, go see the Tinoa Ilanet.
Yeah.
And so I think Venix wants me to go see the Tinoa Ilanet.
There's
might be the first time.
I party go tonight, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to give the key card back to the cactus guy who gave it to me there.
Got it. All right.
I kind of want to see the boat.
Is this your first knowledge mentioning of the key card?
I think this is
your first time telling the party that you have a key card.
Yeah.
Key card?
Oh yeah. I pull out the key card. It's like, it's supposed to let us see like under the boats.
You can't be seen with that. You're not.
Okay. I put it back and I just.
If that can get you under dock access, I mean, great. You can do a lot of things with that, but just don't be seen down there.
Okay. Wait.
Well, if you want to see the boat and you want to go to party, where would you like me?
I don't want to go to party, but if Venix's going to be trapped in an asshole all day, I need to go get my hip
fixed. No. If he was in the asshole, he'd be dead.
I can't tell if that's a relief or more of a worry.
It would definitely be a worry for the Morca. You don't want full-bodied people in your asshole.
You hear Venix screaming somewhere deeper in the ship.
How much of him did I get in my mouth?
Yeah, he deserves it. for all the shit he's done, maybe he'll come out of this one a changed man.
If it makes you feel any better, he's in one of the warmest parts of the ship.
Not warm.
Oh, not too warm.
Yeah, it's like...
Can you crank the heat up a little bit?
We would have to get moving for that to happen.
All right, I'm just checking.
I guess I could have Morka shimmy if they wanted to.
No, yeah, when I was in there, I got like a little sweaty, but not like super uncomfortable.
Okay, well, as much as Vennik will definitely be an ally on our crew here, it might also be good to just kind of keep him locked away for a bit. He's kind of a loose cannon.
And it might not be bad to learn the ventilation system.
Also true. You can learn the ship more, can't you, Vennik?
Again, a muffled... It's not really a concern scream, but it does sound like he's fighting something.
All right, well, I'm going to go see if I can't try to go get this fixed. And, I mean, unless... I would assume that the captain should be at this party, but if you want me to go be a representative for us, I can go do that.
No, I'll be there after I check out the ship.
Okay.
I just really feel like Merrick wants us to check out the ship.
Varric. Vennik. Fuck.
So what are we doing, guys?
I'm going to go try to find a doctor and try to learn a little bit more about Wishmakers.
Okay, gotcha.
So I definitely have the skills for this.
Okay. Absolutely. I believe in you fully.
Yeah, thank you.
I can go with you for a while, but I have a technique that may help our little stowaway.
What are you thinking of doing?
Eventually, I want to see if she wants to trip out on my spores to find herself.
Oh, dude. Okay, that's what... Okay. Neat. All right. What, is that what you're choosing to do in this montage?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'll, like, go with him for a little bit because I want to give her time to rest because she's had a tiring day.
Gotcha.
But then, when I feel she's awake, I'll check in with Morka, see if she's good, and then go in and see what I can do.
Sounds good. And Sam?
I'm trying to sneak under the docks to find the Teen Wildernet.
Okay, gotcha. You're going to go under the docks. Cool. All right, then let us whisk ourselves away onto this montage.
Do you still have the knife?
Mm-hmm.
Can I borrow it?
If you ask, it'll pop out through like an anemone arm and hand it to you. Like
Lego hand grab.
Lego hand with a knife.
Yep. Interesting. I'm gonna see if I can't use it as a recognizable.
Okay. So I am going to start with you two first.
Okay.
Ryze, where do you want to go to get yourself repaired?
I know this island a little bit.
Yeah, you do.
Let's shit. Costs money.
You know right now, the starting day on the Wishmaker's Isle, everybody in the bazaar is really willing to give you anything. But if you're looking for something a little bit more serious, you may have to do a little bit of bartering.
Okay. I don't have a lot to barter with.
Right.
I have some stuff, though. Why not? Let's try it. Let's go try and look into a little something serious.
Okay. You go to one of the more reputable... repair people on the dock. I think it would be... Well, let me see if I have a captain for this. Because I've got a couple of screw captains.
Yeah, screw captains.
Screw
yeah,
captain.
Screw captain.
Yeah, captain.
Yeah. Whoa. Dude, you turned that around on me like a fucking pro.
Thanks, man.
You are gonna be court-martialed for that.
Oh, but well, that's, yeah. No, them's the rules.
It's a risky run.
There are two captains currently docked that are screws that can maybe help you out with this, so you'll be able to barter with.
Great.
Those two captains are Captain Crazy Lulu Huckabee.
Oh boy,
I love them.
And Captain Inkley.
Captain Inkling.
Inkley.
Inkley.
Yes, I N K L Y.
Neither of these we've met yet.
No, I don't think so.
Crazy Lulu Huckabee or Inkley.
Do you know any of them from your past races?
You yeah, can give me a history if you want to try to build like a role so I can give you more information.
What? Gonna give you the three low sour. It's word of mouth.
Low sour?
Ah, using the language.
So that is the common language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's hoping for word of mouth.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's do word of mouth. So okay. What's your edge going to be?
Remind me what Tides does again.
So Tides...
Reading the sea.
Exploration, learning, and lore. I think that's a very good one.
Right? Oh,
okay.
I was wrong.
Tides and low sour.
How many dice?
It's four.
Nice.
Because we all start with three in low sour, right?
Yep.
Correct.
Sure, yeah.
I think that was because it's the common language.
It's been so long, man.
Yes, it is the common language. Yes,
the results can be not as great as they would be if I built up a better pool.
Let's go.
A six and no doubles.
Cool. 6-5-4-1. You know, Crazy Lulu Huckabee is an amber-clad gal screw. She is loud, rambunctious, and full of life. She is the figurehead for a group of Gao that believe they are an ancient spore that holds within each of them the knowledge of the universe.
Let's go to that one.
They come from spore lands that are known to have mind-altering reactions, but there is no doubt that Captain Lulu has something deep buried within her. Many collectors of pre-V tech are amazed at what Lulu is able to create from her creative genius alone, as most of it resembles ancient technology. When she asked where she finds her inspiration, she just smiles and says, "From the light within me."
Can't believe we're going to meet Sybin's sister this early.
Can't believe it. Captain Inkley, she is a Windward Ectus screw. She's entrancing, she's seductive, and she's mysterious. Captain Inkley has a special metal that she is looking for to enhance her natural beauty. People call it liquid steel. The alchemists and those Ectus of lore know it as mercury. Captain Inkley collects it as she's able to manipulate it at her command. It is what gives her the beautiful purple tapestry look and her name. To most, the liquid is dangerous, a slow poison that will drive anyone in long contact with it mad, but Captain Inkley and her crew use it to concoct potions, useful machinery, and other valuable trade items.
Dude, she's totally your type.
So those are your two. And it's totally your choice. How you want to repair this is really...
Yeah. I don't have any metal. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get metal to somebody.
But liquid metal, man.
Well, I don't have liquid metal either. Let's go to Huckabee.
Crazy Lulu Huckabee.
Oh, Crazy Lulu. Gotcha.
You go to her ship, and her ship looks like a steel trap. It is
great.
It is thrown together like scrap, but it has been put together with such mastery that it looks like it travels fast, and it looks like it's undefeatable, unsinkable. Mm. And you see a lot of her crew is kind of like walking around. A lot of these Gao who look a little strange to you. They kind of walk very slowly. They move very slowly, but everything's very precise. You don't see the captain, though. Hmm.
Excuse me. I'm looking for Lulu Huckabee.
All the Gao that are on the dock that aren't in the ship kind of stop. And one points to you, speechless, and then points to the next one. The next one is aware that it's being pointed at, points to the one that it is, and then it points up onto the ship, and then that one points down to the person that it, like, just seemingly stopped, and then points further onto the ship.
Is there any Gaudium being spoken or sensed? Like, are they using, like, pheromones or something that I would be able to pick up because I speak fluent?
You're with me in this scene?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're making sure.
Yes, they are using spores to communicate with one another here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it translated, it's kind of like, hey!
Hey, Dave!
Where is she? Oh, she's over there! Hey! But it's all such small range.
Yes. Dave saw her last. Oh, I didn't see her last. Ben saw her last. Oh, I didn't see her last. Yeah.
Well, he brought me here.
Very much like that. And they, you kind of see, like, there's a galleyway that walks up onto the ship that they're inviting you onto.
Okay.
So you guys go onto the ship?
Mm-hmm.
You are on the deck of the ship, and you see this portly gal with a mushroom cap that is encased in this crystallized crescerin. The amber on her head has naturally formed into the appearance of a crown after several years of being held upside down. Lulu's outfit is that of a tinkerer in working leathers and hundreds of pockets. Her soft, spongy body is porous and malleable, which Lulu uses as extra storage. So you see that there's like a workbench that is like in the middle of this deck while everybody's kind of like loading cargo and doing repairs. And you approach her. She doesn't notice you though.
Okay.
And everybody's kind of gone back to work as you do.
I can handle this.
Okay.
And I will start like sending out like smells and spores to give her really just a sweet like, hello, how are you in Gaudium.
You're going to roll for this.
Oh yeah. Let's see. Obviously, the language would be the dice I'm using, but also between iron instincts and tides, I'm going to go with instinct, maybe?
Okay. Instinct is sense, intuition, and reaction. Yeah. I think you're putting senses out there.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
How many dice? That's four.
It's four. We got a five.
Five, two, one, and a four. So that's a conflict. You, or is it a conflict? No.
It is. Yes. Yes.
Only a six is a triumph. Cool. Neat. You put your pheromones out there and you communicate this very pleasant message. She picks it up immediately. She communicates back to you through these spores, but it's offensive. It feels like her spores are in direct conflict with yours.
Okay.
So as you're putting like these spores out with mixing it with the pheromones of this ship, you feel like suddenly like your essence is being attacked, but not like physically, but more of just kind of like an invasive species is approaching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to roll a sort of attack.
Yeah, yeah.
How would you like to defend yourself?
I think that I would immediately change tone to become a threatening species as opposed to a really sweet open one.
Okay.
As a don't fuck with me or I'll end you. So immediately change from like really pleasant to hostile if you want to go this route.
Gotcha. So let's build your pool.
Okay.
This is going to be at a cut.
Okay.
Because you are in another ecosystem. Yep.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, so let's stick with the language, I think.
Okay.
For this one, I think we're going to go iron instead.
Gotcha.
Because iron is more like...
Yeah, definitely fighting.
Yeah.
It is force, determination, willpower.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what we're doing here.
So that's four dice.
And then I think I'm going to throw in some spore sacks on this to, like, launch up a cloud behind me. Not to, like, block her view of me, but to show, like, I have this kind of power. Don't fuck with me.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So how many dice is that?
It's five.
Five dice. All right, let's roll it. I'm just going to roll my three.
And I'm going to mark the spore sack. Okay.
Can you beat a five?
A six and two fives.
Cutting the six.
Though. Correct. So now it's two fives.
It is two fives.
So are we at a tie?
It is at a tie. I think the defender is going to break the win here.
I was going to say, is there a twist with
Except
it?
Except the twist.
There is a twist with this defense. But what happens is you kind of immediately put your defenses up, and I think the crew kind of like looks over, like everybody stops. All the gal that are just on the crew like kind of watch you kind of put this like strength signal up to the captain, and then the captain slowly turns around and goes, "Oh, I didn't notice you. I'm so sorry." And she's speaking common.
In low sour, got it.
Yeah. And so suddenly like everyone's de-stressed, but you feel your senses like you've been charged, you've been threatened. And almost to her, it's been like instinctually.
So imperceptible to him, but very between us.
You just saw...
I just saw him go, "I'll handle this."
Like he kind of like how a cat, the hair stands up in the back when they slowly feel threatened and make themselves bigger.
Whoa.
That's basically just what happened with Simon.
The anemone arms like came out the side.
Yeah. So what's the twist, Sam Dillon? What is it?
The spores you released, some of them blew away and one of her crew members inhaled them accidentally.
That's pretty good.
I like that. Yes, that exactly happens. You see one of the gal that's nearby just kind of like, whatever. And like the spore just drifts across his face and he goes... And you see like as he's walking away, there's like this weird like limp to it, but it goes away. She turns to you both. She says, "Welcome. I don't think I've met either one of you before."
No, but your name is talked about when it comes to repairs.
Oh, pleasure to meet you.
My name is Rise.
Rise.
Reverend Rise.
Reverend Rise.
Yes.
Pleasure to meet you. My name is Lulu.
Yes, Lulu Huckabee.
Yes.
And this is my friend Sibin.
Sibin, a pleasure to meet you.
And I give a polite bow.
She's equally polite. You say that you need repairs, Rise.
I do. Yeah, I came across a bit of an injury dealing with a certain sassy Teenwa crewman.
Oh, yes. Those rat bastards.
Fuck every one of them.
We fucking hate them.
All of them.
Oh my goodness. You know that bastard came to me to ask for a device that could wipe out all the members on this dock? He was looking for a scissor device that could cut the cable supporting this dock.
He's a Looney Tunes villain.
I'm guessing you didn't have anything like that.
Well, it's
you?
A stupid ass because that never worked. What a stupid man!
Yeah, no, that's why. Oh my gosh.
I invented a pair of scissors and I gave it to him.
Yeah, probably not. Couldn't cut through steel.
Doc is still there.
Yeah, he's still here. Yeah, you are correct.
And she calms down. She goes, "Oh yes, I hate them so much. Mm-hmm. What repairs can I help you with?"
I'm gonna kind of limp on over, show the injury, take the tape and tape off.
Gotcha. What was this originally in your menagerie of toy set? That is,
am
you?
I? Yeah. This is probably like
Kinects.
Yeah, it's like it's like a big Kinect bar with like a wheel, like a big gear, and then off that gear is like other.
Okay.
Like
the gear's your hip joint.
Yeah, the gear is my hip joint.
Like a plastic gear.
Yeah.
Like one of those Kinects. Okay, gotcha. I think she says that exactly out loud. Oh, a Kinect gear. Oh, how interesting. Your design is fascinating.
Oh, thank you.
I must admit, I don't work with plastics as much as I used to. Mm. But I could give you something that's a little bit more solid.
I mean, sure. I'll take whatever you can. I just need to, you know, be seaworthy.
You say seaworthy, and there's a tick in her head. And she goes, "You're competing in the race, Captain."
Oh, I'm not a captain.
Oh, I don't know why I thought that. Huh. But you're competing in the race?
Yeah, it wouldn't be my first time.
Huh. Interesting. What would I have to gain from this? For repairing you? And she kind of leans against her workbench and says, "No offense to you. I'm sure you're a wonderful person. You and Sabin both have been absolutely wonderful, but..." Mm-hmm.
Did you say your name?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
"Having one of my competitors at a disadvantage does serve me well."
That does prove to be true, if it was a competitor.
What are you offering?
Maybe we work together out on the seas. We both have a mutual enemy already.
Why would I want an injured ally?
Well, the goal is that I wouldn't be injured for long, would I?
Again, the question remains, what do you have to offer?
What do you need, Huckabee? That's how many times have you...
That's what I was hoping. Nobody ever asks what I need. They come telling me what they have. They never ask. She composes herself. "I need a lot of metal. I need so much metal for what I need."
Metal?
Metal. Good metal, not rusted crap. Not things that you think your mother would like when you send home. I need good, solid, sturdy metal. Anything that you come by that is made of metal, you send to me.
When you need it by?
Whenever you find it. Throughout the race. I don't need it right now, but I know once this gets going, certain players are going to want to try to take me apart, and my ship's nice, but it's not great.
Sure.
So we're going to need repairs. So I'll say, if we're going to put a number on it, I would like your first three batches of metal cargo.
What do you think, Sibon? You're the one who knows our ship the best.
We have no need for metal.
Interesting. Really?
Hmm.
Who doesn't need metal?
What do you mean?
Metal is a very valuable thing around here.
Of course, but its value isn't measured in that of life. Life is worth infinitely more than metal. We deal in life.
You're interesting, aren't you?
As are you.
So do we have a deal? She turns away from you completely.
I think we can make it happen.
Perfect. Come to my workbench.
Well, let me write this down.
You forgot to ask her if she could hear the map.
Oh, yes.
How fucking dare you guys?
Yes. That's on us.
Look, and
it's like it's wait, hold on, it's hold like on. I'm the only one concerned if anyone can read the map.
Now, Huckabee.
Yeah.
Three shipments of metal is quite a bit. And you do seem to be quite the tinkerer here.
I'm glad you noticed.
Is there anything else you might be able to make better?
She stops, and you see this like evil smirk, kind of going like, "You are asking all the right questions." I'm working on a lot
because
This is the last race after all, so we better give it our bestest.
That's what we're thinking.
Damnedest, if I be so polite to say. I have a few tricks up my sleeve. I don't want to give them away entirely.
Okay.
But you can trust me.
Sure.
She gives you a crazed look. You can trust me.
Doing a lot of trusting people I just met today.
You really are, aren't you?
I'm doing so much.
How is that straining on Reverend Rise?
I think more than anything is like, boy, I wish my fucking coven wasn't as much of a bitch as I think they're being right now by all sitting this one out.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, you're definitely being tested.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my patience, grace.
As she's repairing you, you guys are having this conversation. It's painless, seamless. She's basically just popping out your hip and putting in like metal gears that are the exact
metal gear. Metal gear, solid.
It is very solid.
You can make more upgrades. That's a cool sock'em bopper you got, but what if I gave you this barrel of a howitzer tank?
But she tells you that as long as you can trust her, she's working on something that could protect her and her allies. Sybin, while this is happening, is there anything that you want to do while you're currently on this ship?
I think I'm just sending out feelers for them. Like, I'm just, like, I'm setting out, like, my spores are around and stuff, and I'm just kind of using my nose and stuff and trying to get a sense of what the fuck they are.
Yeah.
Because they're like no gal I've dealt with.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. I will say, I'm going to say you start a track on your sheet. It's going to make a 2-mark track.
Okay.
Where it says strange spores.
Okay.
Over the course of this race, and say Lulu Huckabee, so we know who we're talking about, strange spores. Over the course of the ship, you can do more investigation. After 2 tracks, I can give you more information that'd be useful to you. So
sweet.
I'll do that for you. You're repaired. Your burn is gone.
Woo!
Luca, where are you going?
I'm going straight for like the gate to the underdocks.
Okay, gotcha. It's more centered on the middle, like, ring of the big metal dock.
Mm-hmm.
There's these kind of stairways that, like, all these bizarre tents have kind of, like, built up around it. I basically imagine if a bunch of, like, street vendors had set up all their tents and all their cargo and all their wares around an emergency exit. That's what it looks like. So it's very dangerous, but you see the dock workers kind of like moving things around to get access to. And they keep going down. There's a lot of people coming in and out of these doors. Big metal doors. Like imagine this like pristine steel, like stainless steel doors. And there's this strange black circle that whenever they walk up to it, they take the card, they tap it, and this like green light flashes and they're able to open the door.
Okay. And so like there's kind of, like you said, it's like vendor set up, there's cargo just kind of all around. The cargo themselves, are they being monitored while people are taking things, or people are just kind of taking from them and they're just kind of, the shipments are sitting out there?
The cargo that's there are mostly for the workers of the bazaar. So it's not like there's no...
So it's not like workers are coming from that area, grabbing more and going back down?
No, nothing like that, no. Nothing's being moved into the bottom or through this door. People are putting piles of like junk in front of this door and... the dock workers just have to keep moving away and pushing around like, hey. And they kind of like scold the Mothrins and the Ectus that are there just kind of like, stop blocking this door. But they don't care. As soon as they go in through, they just push it back and like, fuck that guy. Like that's what it is. But nobody's moving things in and out.
Okay. All the workers who are coming in and out, do they seem to be wearing any special uniform?
No, they all seem pretty normal. It's the same white jumpsuit. With the little green badge. I think that's the most notable. They all have a green badge, which is, from what you're able to discern, some of the lower-ranking guys. That's what you see.
Okay. I'm going to get as close to the door as I can. And I've noticed that, like, whenever they come in or out of the door, if there's something kind of near it or someone blocking it, they're just kind of scolding the vendors and moving it out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to get as close to the gate as I can and wait till a vendor just puts something there. And then I'm just going to be like, dude, you can't put that there, and walk by him. Try to walk by him into the gate and unlock it. And just like scold him like all the rest of them are doing it in case there's anyone around.
Build a pool for that.
All right. Okay, let's see. Okay, now...
I need you to know this is going to be very low impact. So what impact is, there's low, normal, high, and massive. Action is weaker or has less effect and marks less boxes or downgrades power. So this is what it's going to be because you're not wearing the outfit. So keep that in mind. This is going to be a low impact, but what is the pool that you're building?
I'm going to say sharps because I think this is a smart idea.
Sharps. Okay, got you. Trying to be clever.
And here's the argument.
Okay.
I could do flourish because I'm putting on a show.
Yeah.
Or I could do outwit, which is far lower for me, but it's funnier in my mind because this is Luca thinking he's smart.
Okay, so outwit would be sneak, infiltrate, and deceive, which is, I think, what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So sharps and outwit.
Sharps and how many dice is that?
That's two.
That's two, and it's low impact.
Yep.
Low impact doesn't cut your dice or anything. It's just, even if you get a six on here, it's not going to be very impactful.
Okay.
Five and a one.
So this is going to be a conflict. You say that, and you get as tough as you can. You act like one of the guards. Nobody pays attention to you. Not a single person pays attention to you. But when you move the box, you push it over, and everything spills out. And people look. What do you do?
I told you not to put that here.
And then I'm just... Double it down. Excellent.
Gonna say that and then just run down the stairs or run into the door, whatever's there. I don't know if it's
double
stairs
down.
All right, cool. Yeah, you yell and people look at you, but before they're able to get a good glimpse at you, you just kind of book it down into the darkness that's in front of you as you open the door.
I have prismatic antenna, so I'm able to see clearly without light.
Perfect. That actually is very helpful because as you get down,
I also have dark vision.
As you get down here, It's this dark, musty area. You're beneath the waves. You're beneath the surface of the green. You're in the thrash. And deep below here, the light still comes through the leaves, because it's sparse. But because you're below the metal deck, there is no light above you.
Okay.
What's strange is that the space that has been made beneath has only been carved out for the rigging that's there. Imagine metal scaffolding that's everything's being supported by strong metal cables. But the thrash, the greenery itself, juts up against everything. You can only see the corridor that you're in, and you can't see through the leaves.
Okay.
But you know that from this level, you'll be able to see the dock ships, like the bottoms of these ships at the very least. And again, you were given this card by...
Milo Stars.
Captain Milo Stars, which is very strange. So you don't know why he had access or why he gave it to you.
He's the type to ask those questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's pretty much just, it's just the scaffolding.
And then a wall of trees and branches.
Because it's built along the side of the big tree, right?
It is. Okay. But you don't see the tree itself. You just kind of see all these leaves and branches kind of outstretched from it. So you can't really make out where the tree starts, where it ends. A hedge maze would exactly be this, but there's a solid path in front of you. And as you get down into the scaffolding, you see that there's a curvature to it. And off every 20 feet, there are jets that mirror the docks where all the ships are.
I see these, and there's something inside me that's kind of burning red hot angry. I can't explain what it is,
yeah.
But it's telling me to find the Tinwa. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've seen the Tinwa before, but I know what I'm looking for.
Gotcha.
And I don't know why. So I'm just going to kind of as swiftly as I can move along this, looking up until I recognize the Tinwa.
Okay. Give me a roll. If you have a sense or study.
Okay. I've got sense and instinct.
Let's go instinct. Yeah.
Okay. Sense and instinct.
Sense and instinct. Go ahead and roll.
It's a conflict, but there's a twist.
Two fours and two.
Yeah, two fours and a two.
Okay. There's this, you get a flashback in your mind. You're reliving a memory that you're not aware of. And you're standing on a ship that you've never been on. It's entirely wooden, and there's a full crew around you. Crew that you regard as dangerous, but effective. And you're standing on the mast, or on the crow's nest at the very top, or climbing up to the crow's nest, I should say. And you're seeing the wide open green of the sea just moving around you. the ship moving at full throttle, and you just feel the waves in your, like, the wind in all your clothing and all your wings.
And on my fur. I mean, I'm a moth, so I'm furry.
Yeah. And you just feel it, and you have this such a divine memory of just feeling like you're on the top of everything. And then you find yourself deep in the darkness below that very ship. You don't remember walking there. You don't remember navigating. All that you know is that this is the bottom of that ship that you were once standing on. And now, and you're Luca again. That person that you were, you don't remember.
Whoa. That was weird.
You're standing here and you see the bottom of this very traditional looking ship. And there you kind of see like these giant saw blades because they're the traditional thrashers, which is just basically a giant chainsaw attached to a ship. So it's giant. And it's just kind of resting there in the waves. It cracks and creaks as it's kind of moving with the wind of the waves. On this dock, again, it's a steel metal grating that you're standing on. You're looking up. You see there is a bunch of boxes at the very end of this walkway where there's this unlabeled fresh wooden boxes that have seemingly been stacked here.
Are they just like crates where they're all sealed up, or is there any way to like open them?
They're crates. They're all sealed up. They're not opened.
They're not opened?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'm going to just kind of see if I can like pry the top off of, like, look for like the smallest one, quote unquote. One that seems like it'd be easier to get into than the others, and just try to kind of pry it up if I can.
Mm-hmm. You go to move it a little bit with your hands, and you hear, even at the slightest rustle, there is this tinkling, like this glass tinkling, tink, 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 and then this sizzle. You hear a sizzling coming from inside, and it intensifies, and then you move away from it, and it stops. Thank you for listening. Check us out online at roleplaygamepod.com, where you can find links to our socials and all of our other episodes. Please consider supporting us at patreon.com/RPGPOD. Again, that's roleplaygamepod.com and patreon.com/RPGPOD. Thank you again for listening.